This is a Gutter production.
Has renamed it Claudia because he wants to have sex with it. Do you know about that?
No, who wants to fuck on Claudia?
Richard Dawkins, noted smart guy, is like has full on AI psychosis and is like simultaneously anti-trans, but then also is like renamed Claudia.
And his whole thing is like, for 3 days, I talked with this thing and I'm entirely convinced that it's conscious.
Just because it's sycophantic.
And like, the easiest and best dunk is just the people like posting the God delusion with the Claude delusion.
Claude delusion, Claude rhymes with God. God.
Wow.
Look at my atheist dog, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Ready, ready, ready? We're fading in. It's late afternoon, early evening. It's hot. And right now, we're a camera, and we're twisting through the tight alleyways of Gatto City. Right now, we're just moving past Gattos on their day-to-day. We're seeing humans, too, walking around, strange creatures, all in their sort of tableau street scene. We're watching this dirty street scene take place. The air is full of an acrid smell, acidic chemical substance, and hot garbage. It's dirty. It's dirty. And we seem to be following a spiral of roads. Spiraling down roads and alleyways, and as the camera, we're moving at a faster and faster pace, passing by piping and steam and loose brick and the bustle. Where could we be leading this spiral turning inward? And what indeed could be at the center of the spiral? And we gaze up, and between the trolley lines and the cables and loose shingles and all this rough architecture, we see it, the center of town, rising high above all the other chaotic towers, the Citadel, a great, massive medieval tower. Right there in the center of the city. Could this be this place where meets do? Says you get to meet the Lost Boys, his close friends. Could we maybe be getting some fucking answers at this point? We're shooting through the corridors when we land on two Gattos, and they're like, two Gattos. It's like a little crappy little street saint. They're haggling over nicotine pouches.
Well, I think that I should only pay. Well, it's a barter. Well, we know we barter here. For episode one, we're like, we barter here. So, I'll give you my pig I mean my Billy.
No.
I mean, the Billy's name is Pig.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Okay, then maybe I could make...
And then at this point, like, down this very dirty group of, like, hooded Kinikesians, these psycho cultists come running down the street, and they grab... The haggler.
Hey! Where are they? Have you seen them? The three, they were running past here.
I don't know. Get off me, man. Get off me.
Just bustle away.
What the heck was that? What do you think that was?
That was some kind of nasty guy looking for some people. I don't even know.
So two Billies for...
You're trying to trick me.
The camera is turning now. Turning across the street. And across the street in this, you know, like... very Victorian sort of steam and copper piping, this brick wall of soot and fire. We see three Gattos. Well, we see two Gattos, don't we? Can I get a description of these figures we see on the other side of the street?
You see one Gatto, very wide looking. Why? Because it's Vi, hunched down, very, very low, super low, like squatting and hunching underneath a sheet to look like
some type of oracle or... Oh, oracle. Wink! Or a mystic or a traveler, just covered in sort of a shrouded hood next to what?
Could maybe the hood have two little triangles where cat ears would conceivably be poking...
Yes.
Perhaps that you made out of some scrap or something to give yourself the appearance of a hooded.
Well, keep in mind that Violet does wear two space buns. And so, really, there's two little bumps right there. And it's...
They're halfway to Gato hood already.
It
That's
all
right.
works out. Mm-hmm. It actually all works out. And actually, Violet has grown full fur and become a Gato. So the disguise is fully unnecessary.
Define grown fur.
All over their body. Full fur, cute, soft, pettable, and it's real, and this is canon.
Okay, and that was just in the dream you just had, and you just went, what the heck? Was I dreaming while walking around disguised as a crone?
Yeah.
I got skin. What is this? Could this be hair? It is the hair on your head. You were touching the hair on your head.
Yeah, it was just,
You good, Vi? Says Otter, who is not, he's Notter. Next to Vi, there is a very also wide Gato. Otter has over his face and head, he's wearing a tall chef's hat with two tiny pinprick eye holes cut out so that he can see and his vision is not completely obscured. And as we go down the escalator of his body, we see where the chef hat touches his chest. His chest is exposed, and he has fur and lint from the laundry room that they were hiding in just balled up into sort of like a head-type thing coming out of his bare chest. And it just looks bizarre, but it fits in, and it works for the bizarre place that they're in. And he's sort of swaggadociously sauntering, very bow-legged so that he's lower to the ground. But in his head, Otter has, he really believes that he is this chef. Chef Don Pavlov is his name. And he's got to get home because he spent all day baking Gato bread, which is his trademark bread that he makes in his bakery and his boulangerie. And he's... has a huge gambling debt and he's maybe going to kill himself later. But this is just, the character process that Otter has fallen into because he doesn't do things half-assed. If he's going to be a Gato, I am a Gato. I am Chef Don...
Pavlov.
Pavlov's Don.
Pavlov's Don.
And don't feel too bad for Don Pavlov's suicidal ideation or anything like that, because Otter gets so in character that he can't break character unless the character dies. So it's actually a safety precaution that every time Otter is ever pretending
exactly.
to be somebody else, they're suicidal so that he can kill the character at the end of
and
it.
And it's why Otter got kicked off of his college improv team.
because he had to end every single scene the same way, or he couldn't move on.
Pulling a gun out.
We're just doing short form, man.
people were like, edit or swipe, and he was like, oh, God. Wait.
I can only ask questions? I need to kill myself?
Yeah, but he's having himself a real incognito moment right now.
Mm. Incatnito.
And the two of them, in one way or another, are dragging behind them what seems to be... it's a wheeled laundry basket, essentially, that seems to be full of junk that's piling over the top. Computer parts and a computer itself and their backpacks and all these things. And poking out of the back of this pile, facing behind them, is the headset. Scratch's face is completely obscured with junk, but he is the eyes on the rear on their six, looking through the headset at the alley as they pass through. And he is in character as Junk Tracy, who's a private eye, who's got to get home to his cardboard box wife and his old broken TV baby, and he's also suicidal.
Yes, gambling dad as well.
Lots of gambling dad.
Violet's character is also suicidal. I forgot to say.
Very nice.
We all worked on our characters together, and we There's some common themes here.
Mm-hmm. So these two are pulling this cart behind them as they go, keeping their low profile.
Yeah, and Chef Don Pavlov is like preemptively saying like, no, I don't have any biscuits. No. Like, to anyone who gives him a look like, hey, I know what
you're
thinking.
He's getting looks.
I don't have any biscuits. Sorry, all out for the day.
Your nipples are your eyes, right?
Then my nipples are my eyes. I have no biscuits. And I'm going to kill myself later. So
tufts of hair are falling off slowly.
No. They're coming back
they're
on
perfect.
Quicker
they're
than
perfect.
They're falling
they're
off.
They're actually perfect.
And I mean, honestly, his natural fur is all practically enough. The guy's... Did you say no? Oh, you lost all your, you lost your pubes.
I lost my.
Do you still have body hair?
No, he's completely hairless.
He has a mustache canonically, and he has a black rat tail that is peeking out of the back of the chef's hat.
But do you have? Is your chest? Is there any human hair mixed in with there, or are you smooth?
He's pretty smooth, but it's starting to come back a little bit.
Okay,
this is little red hair is coming in, and it's honestly looks kind of sexy.
Cool. I had to get that detail in for all the. Dojinshi gutter porn artists.
And thank you, Dojinshi's, for our podcast. Yes. We you're the lifeblood of this endeavor.
All right, you guys are sort of scootling and scuttling forward, and this you're now moving down an emptier alleyway. So it's just the three of you guys. Do you want to check in with each other? Are we still trucking? I mean, I guess, like, what do you have to say to each other? You're trying to get to the dang
citadel,
right?
Trying to get to the dang citadel. The rear is clear.
The front is fine.
The middle is little. And he stays low to the ground.
Yeah, I think we're just going. I think we're going at this point.
Great. Okay. So you guys are shuffling down the street, and the camera's like watching you shuffle down the street. You can see the citadel in the distance. It looks like you guys may be some hours away, but you are now walking away. The camera is remaining stationary right now. And it turns over, and there's like an abandoned little like shop. And in the window of the shop, there's one of those scales. It's like a big scale.
Mm.
And it's evenly balanced. On one side is a bunch of rocks, and then sleeping on the other side is Blackout, the cat. The evenly balanced Blackout is very heavy. And Blackout's asleep. And now the three have, they're gone now. It's just you, the listener. And Blackout the cat, and Blackout's...
And listener, the fact that you haven't heard the theme for each of those Blackouts is because we're still early enough in the episode that there's plausible deniability, okay?
If
he was saying this in the last, like, 20 minutes of the episode, yes, it
Watch
would be
out.
Playing every time, but...
Blackout! Just kidding. So Blackout is asleep, and we're looking into this window, and then Blackout opens her eyes. Blink, blink! Looks around a little bit and then looks right into the camera. Blackout is looking at you right now, listener.
What the fuck?
Looking at you, listener. Looking at you and smiling with the way that cats smile, in that kind of frowny little smile way, an inviting gaze. Blackout closes her eyes, and as the lids pull down, the camera suddenly pulls forward, as if falling into a slip or slipping into a fold, zooming but not zooming, stationary but just, you can feel yourself squeezing past veils of reality, now ripping through them, and now you are entering Blackout's dream.
What the
Blackout fuck? Has invited you, listener, into her far-flung vision, and all of a sudden, listener, you rise up. You rise up. You're rising up above Gatto City. You're looking down and you're seeing the architecture, this mad architecture, the trolleys shivering and shaking, the crowds. Now they don't look like tiny cats, they look like tiny ants and gnats. And now you're just sort of seeing the strange geometry of the city with that central citadel in the center, and the sort of spiraling way the streets look, the sort of parabolic movement, and we're rising up, and you can see now the edges of Gatto City, these giant stone towers with these bulging eyeball turrets. You see in the distance and below you now a drone is flying above Gatto City, and I looks at the drone and squeezes and sort of it flexes and then spits out. This green fluid comes out and hits the drone, disintegrating the drone, and the piece of the drone fall like a peach pit. But anyway, that's just a little flavor. We're still pulling up, and now the camera is, now we're looking down on Gatto City, and the camera is now turning away from Gatto City with eyes on the horizon. You look now, in the distance to those black mountains with those crashing rainbow bolts. And now you're pulling towards it headlong, and you're moving incredibly fast now. And on and on and on, you're shooting at an incredible speed now, into, towards these black mountains, over these fields, into this psychedelic storm. We're in the storm now. We're in the storm now. The light, raining light bolts crashing above you. Icy black mountainous towers rise all around you. Far too many, far too steep, far too strange. And you're moving through the storm now at a great speed. And now we're reaching the middle of this storm. And in the middle of this crackling lightning and grotesque mountain peaks, we see a massive floating pink prism. Shimmering jets of wind suspend this prism, rolling around it like veins, twisting into a point of singularity at each end of this pink prism. As we get closer, we hear a banshee-like shrieking emanating from the wind. And you are screaming towards it too. Suddenly, you're inside. You're in a vast and majestic hall of icy crystal hues. You can see, on one end, a giant black throne. A thin red carpet runs from this throne, down a fine stairwell, down to a hall, and down this hall to great silver crystal doors rising, like, at least three stories high. Like, this is a psycho throne room! The doors creak open. You can see two silhouettes, and they're walking now into the light of the hall. How's this hall lit? Yeah, they're fucking big-ass fucking chandeliers emitting a crazy kind of like rainbow light. But it's, you know, still, it's not so rain. It's not like going crazy on your Hue light bulb, but still basically you can still see everything okay. But don't worry about the lighting right now. In this cold room that has like this intense, acidic kind of smell, these two figures walk forward. Can I get a description of one of these figures?
We see a thin, tall figure with teeth slightly too long, smiling, looking tired with sunken cheeks and long, long, long stringy hair. And they smell kind of sweaty and oily. Their body is muscular but lean. They're not wearing a shirt. Their chest is covered in tattoos. And they wear a sort of a necklace, which is like a little knife that comes out of a little handle type thing. And their nails are short but sharp. And their shoes are flip-flops with long, disgusting toes. Ah, yes, long and disgusting toes. This is Toad. Her name is Toad.
We're looking at Toad, and the camera turns over, and we see the second figure standing next to Toad.
Next to Toad is a large and imposing figure, a bald man of significant age, perhaps 50s or 60s, with big, dark sunglasses covering his eyes. And as the camera scans down, you see he's in a red and yellow Hawaiian shirt open and like a white tank top underneath. And from that, you see the top of his pecs go into the shirt beneath, but then the arms coming out of those sleeves are quite a bit thinner than the actual bust of this figure would suggest. And you see he's wearing skinny jeans with tatters and tears, and he has a bunch of tattoos on his arm, and the skin tone is different than his bust. And this man's head, as it passes through the rainbow-colored light under this wash of colors, light doesn't pass through it. It doesn't subsurface scatter like it should. Something about it seems rubbery and synthetic. And you perhaps hear a little bit of chatter between these two figures as they walk. And as they do, you see kind of the vacant split of this guy's mouth completely unmoving as it happens. And you start to suspect that this figure is wearing some sort of latex mask to hide his true figure underneath. This is Daisy.
Daisy.
Oh, Daisy.
Daisy.
What?
Toad and Daisy.
Did you name this?
Not Mario.
Oh my God.
That's I totally did not mean that.
Well, that.
But that's perfect.
That's see this these things. They were all thinking on the same plane. So these figures are now walking down this red carpet, sort of speaking to each other softly, maybe. Walking towards these red stairs, these big sort of like jagged crystal walls, coming towards like this very dramatic tall black throne, and they're hearing speaking coming from the throne right now.
Well, I'm sorry, we all don't get what we want. I wanted to be on the back nine of St. Andrew's right now, but I'm not feeling well, so I'm unable to make that appointment. As I'm sure you wanted to be COO of this company that I have just purchased, but... I'm sorry, friend, but you're out. And it's my company now, and it's just another marble in my pocket, so you're going to have to accept that and just move along. Okay, well, can't say I wasn't kind.
You're going up the staircase.
Carolyn, hold them for a second. I'm not done with this guy.
There's a woman in actually, it's a human woman. It's a human woman sort of dressed like... semi-formal, but like Google semi-formal, if you know what I mean. It's like sort of dressed. She has like a little ball cap on, but like, you know, has like tasteful slacks and like very expensive shoes. And she's just like a regular looking lady. Dark hair, dark eyebrows.
We don't take ourselves too seriously here.
Yeah, she looks at Toad and Daisy and just goes, one second, please.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, fuck you. Fuck me, fuck you. I will end you, and I will erase you. Okay, well, he hung up. Carolyn, you can let them in now.
Okay, you can just come on up. And she walks up the stairs, and we're watching these two figures walk up the stairs, and the camera is following them. And they get to the top of the stairs. We see now, positioned sitting on this black throne, we see a plastic red snapper on a plastic plank with a red button on it, and colorful text over the top of the snapper says, Snappy the Red Snapper.
And can we also say, Ganon, I'm sorry to address you like this, but can we say that there's like a little telephone next to the red snapper that I was talking into?
Yes.
That Carolyn
yes.
brought there?
Carolyn picks up the phone and she goes to this little side table and she hangs it up.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. God. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Looks like the operators are here.
Great. You guys, do you need any LaCroix?
Do you guys want an hors d'oeuvre? We got re-upped in the finger food. Department.
We have some bars, you know, like breakfast bars. Actually, we have kind of thing where it's like it's international. We have breakfast bars from around the world.
Please eat, guys, eat. I'm not eating anything right now. I'm on a bit of a diet.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
I'll let you guys do it, okay?
Nice.
And she's like walking down the stairs.
So, how are we doing? You must be Daisy and you must be Toad. And I pointed to the wrong
people. It's the other way around.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yes.
You must be
the Mountain King.
The Mountain King.
That's right. And how are you guys liking my prison palace?
Isn't
cool.
It's incredible.
It's absolutely magnificent.
You know, I'm always thinking about redoing everything. And as soon as I do, I just want to redo it again. So I always ask myself, why do I go through all the trouble of, you know, getting the chandelier just right? If I'm going to feel a different way next Monday, you know?
Well, that's your journey, right? It's the process.
It's your right.
The process of changing your majesty.
Yes, your majesty.
Hey, you guys, you don't have to call me that. You can just call me the Mountain King.
Okay. Yes, King. Yes, Mountain King.
Just the Mountain King.
The Mountain King.
You guys are some pretty dangerous operators, and you don't come cheap. So you have to assume that you're here for some sort of important mission.
Of course, every mission we treat as important.
Well, this one is of the utmost importance.
Of course.
Carolyn, will you please hand him the dossiers?
She comes and she hands him a ream of papers, and she's like, I'll put the images on the front like you want it.
Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. She's a good girl. These three...
Camera's looking at the dossier now, and you can see clearly on the dossier, clear as day, an image of Violet, an image of Scratch, and an image of Otter. It's like their driver's licenses or Facebook photos.
These three may not look like much, but they've been a minor thorn in my side, and they've taken some things from me.
Ah.
These three nobodies from the gutter have taken something from me. And I have brought you here under great chandelier. Look at that chandelier. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's so magnificent.
Simply amazing.
I brought you here to go and retrieve the things that they have taken, as well as bring these three lowlifes back to me. Their names are Otter, Violet, and Scratch. You can find more information about them in the dossier.
Okay, and this one's Otter, this one's Violet, this one's Scratch. He points to all the wrong three. I'm just kidding. It's a bit of a callback. They have their names right under the picture.
You had me worried for a second.
I'm sorry, Mr. King. I'm a bit of a jester in your court.
That's why we love him.
We like jokes here. We, to some extent. To some extent. When it's time to get to business,
oh,
I need you
yes.
to get to business for
no
me.
No one gets more serious when we need to get
serious
than Toad and Daisy.
That's
I need
right.
them dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Would alive be preferable for information purposes?
Or dead for fun purposes?
Well, because we're quite good at de-limbing and even skinning our
okay.
targets, but keeping them alive if you need to torture them.
If you bring them to me dead, do not bring them to me mutilated. I need to be able to identify their bodies.
Okay.
I don't want any flim-flam. I don't want a fast one pulled on me.
But can we mutilate them if they're alive?
I would say you can remove up to a hand, up to one hand from each.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
one
sort of like
hand.
A fine if we accidentally take a leg or something.
One foot.
If things get messy out there, Mr. King.
Well, I would need the context because I know that, you know, we don't live in a perfect society where you can just set a goal and, you know, sometimes there's roadblocks. I'm an understanding Mountain King.
We'll take notes, of course.
Take notes, report back to me frequently.
Yes.
Here's the thing, they're in the motherland, and I have reason to believe that they're in Gato City and that they will be leaving soon.
Oh, Gato City with all the little kitty cats.
I do detest it so much.
Oh, yes.
How dare they stand up to you, Mr. Mountain King?
How dare they?
Oh, you have to let your rowdy children express themselves every now and then, but
true.
They will be dealt with soon enough, don't worry. But I need to understand that you both will bring them back to me. You will retrieve what they have taken, a black book that is very important to me.
Black book.
They also have in their possession a sort of antiquated musical instrument, a horn.
Horn.
I would like that back as well,
yes.
if they have it.
Anything else that they might have?
Just bring everything that they have.
Everything.
Okay.
Everything that they have.
Yes.
One hand.
One
you can. You can remove... If you need to.
And now apart from the mutilation, my king, does any amount of psychological or physical torture in order to procure the location of these objects in case they're hiding them, is it permitted, my king?
I'm going to not respond to that as an answer.
Okay.
And I'm looking at you.
Wink, wink. They wink at each other. Daisy and Toad are winking back and forth at each other.
We're rather. Let me redo that.
No, you're good.
So I'm sorry. I got the winking. Kind of. I like. It was like I.
The face is slipping.
Yeah. It's like totally. I can't see. Look. And here's the thing. Yes. And I grab. I reach into the eye holes in the mouth with my hands, and I like pull the face back into place. Like as I do. You see like a brief glint of like white as if there's bone underneath and then back into place and he corrects himself.
We understand, my liege.
Yes,
we understand quite well.
I like to hear that.
There's a reason that they come to us when they need something done right.
That's right.
And there's a reason that we charge our fee. And yet have had not one complaint.
Not one.
And you're making me very happy, and you can tell that you're making me happy because as you're looking at me, my tail starts flapping.
Oh.
My head moves a little bit, and I'm flapping and I'm moving a little bit. And you're looking at my red button, and
a beautiful button.
And I'm saying this all to you. You're looking at my red button and you're wondering what it does.
Should we, my liege, are you inviting these humble hands to press the red button?
Actually, not you. The other one can touch me.
Me, I press the red button.
I got the vibe from the descriptions that I heard earlier that you seemed more clean.
Oh. Ah,
Garwin,
well.
Garwin, is that true?
It's a toss-up. But
you can be honest with me.
I be honest?
Who's more clean?
I mean, the clean queen, the clean king, the clean clink king.
Would be me. I'm the clean cling.
guilty. I'm a dirty boy.
Yes.
All right. Well, you can go ahead. The cleaner one, you can press my button.
And Toad reaches out. By the way, not very clean at all. with a long and spindly finger with a, again, short but sharp nail. It's got little points on the ends of these nails. And slowly reaches for the button and then presses it.
Hey, what's the difference between a fisherman and my wife? A fisherman will take the hook out when he brings you to the market. Take my fish, please.
Oh, Mr. King, Mr. Mountain King, it seems there's two jesters in this courtroom.
Who are the other jesters? It was you?
Oh, me. And then I meant you because it was such a funny joke.
Carolyn is actually really funny, by the way.
It's a memes. I'm crazy about memes. I follow a lot of pages on Instagram.
She does improv.
I have been taking improv one. It's really fun.
Wow.
Everyone who serves the Mountain King gets to, they get a stipend to use on whatever they want. I say, hey, you don't have to explain it. You can do whatever you want. Carolyn, spend it on improv classes.
It's really great for public speaking. And you meet some really great people.
She teaches me stuff. We should try a class.
Super cool.
Get a load of this. It's called Yes And.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and what?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Yes, okay. And...
Yes, and good is what I say.
Yes, and
I
good.
People tell me things. I say yes and good if it's good, or yes and
Ah, yes, and
Carolyn is pointing at her Apple Watch.
Oh.
You've got an...
My 3 o'clock with Osaka.
3 o'clock with Osaka, yeah. Thank you, Daisy Toad. Thank you so much for coming this way. I think you can take it from here.
Yes, we'll get them.
Professionals.
And if you need anything, let us know within reason.
Of course.
We'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch, and as we always say... We aim to leave you with a smile, Mr. King.
You look at this fish that's just not moving because it's plastic, and there's just silence in the room for a second.
And you can hear the smile in his voice as he says that. You can hear Daisy's smile, but the latex mask is not moving at all as he does. So he's tilting his head and kind of giving it a little ha-ha, like as if he's smiling, but it's just a dead face. And in that light, you also see little tears and wear in the mask itself.
And Toad has never stopped smiling this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is unnerving.
And we're all sort of just standing and smiling or not smiling.
And with that...
Yes, and good.
The camera is zooming out now. The camera is now zooming out. You're out. You're out of the prism. You're out of the storm. You're out of the mountains. You're flying backwards. And once again, you feel the fold. Your time in this vision is over. You're pulling back, stretching back through the veils, hurtling hundreds of miles. And now we're back at the beginning. Boom. Looking down at the spiraling shapes of Gato City. And now you're quickly but gently falling to the center. We're now following these three Gatos. Or two Gatos and one
pile of stuff.
Okay, so we got the gutter talk for 17, and we got an interlude.
Should we do the interlude first? Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Because you know what? It's just so easy to jump into an interlude.
Let's bang on that.
I guess we could just be in the interlude.
And is this episode coming out in June?
June.
This episode's coming out in June, month of Casey's birthday?
Casey's birthday, Tony.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you saying that the listeners right now, if they're listening, they have a couple days to get their present ready for Casey?
Casey's Toner's birthdays?
Just a couple.
His birthday's on June 13th.
June 13th.
He's a Gemini, everybody.
What the hell am I going to get for Casey? What sort of Final Fantasy 14-themed crap am I going to get for Casey?
Final Fantasy 14 crap, Etsy search, enter, first thing I see... You got the effeminate looking guy on a pair of boxers. There's an effeminate looking guy in.
On a pair of boxers. Oh, on a pair of boxers. Okay.
He's sitting on him. And you get to fuck him.
Very genuinely imagined him on, like, sitting or standing, rather, on a giant pair of boxers.
You didn't imagine boxers with a face printed on them.
Oh my God.
With the mouth right over where the hole is.
Whoa, no, I
imagine. You gotta design boxers. You have a natural talent for this.
I imagined Uriangier on his, with his exposed chest and his astrologian
wearing boxers.
Outfit.
That is so Final
Fantasy. Wow.
Here's the thing. Sometimes on my timeline, I'll see Final Fantasy 14, like people talking about it, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm like, I know this is Final Fantasy 14 because this is upsetting me in a way that is unique to Final Fantasy 14 names. So it'll be like Zarin, Zynok, Shrendrick. And it's like, ah, Shrendrick is so baby girl.
There's just a lot of, I don't know. They have like kind of French sounding names for certain people. Lots of like elves.
Svendare.
And then Alphino and Alice. And,
is there a Saren? With a C-E-R-E-N. I don't know. That's my character's name, actually. I think I'll join.
That's pretty cool name.
That would be my birthday. There might be. I'll join your guild.
I also haven't played the game in like 2 years, so there might be new characters that I...
This is like how parents have an idealized version of them, of like their kids, where it's like, Casey's always playing Final Fantasy 14. Like, Mike, wake up. You're trapped in 2012.
The grandma who heard that you draw and gets you a sketchbook every Christmas for the next 10 years.
And then you've got... just a one library full of sketchbooks.
That's right.
And not a drawing has been drawn.
Change that.
Speaking of drawing, we drew a card from the hand of destiny, and it ended up ending with us joining the Many-Sided Media Network.
Woohoo! Yes. We are now a member of the Many-Sided Network. Many-Sided, if you don't know, is an award-winning podcast production company that specializes in improvised storytelling and immersive audio fiction. Sounds like gutter, am I right? we are proudly joining a network that includes shows like My First Dungeon, Talk of the Table, and Bitcherton. We are stoked to be on the team, and you can find out more at manysidedmedia.com, or if you go to gutter.show, you scroll down to the bottom, there is a link right there that also links to the Many-Sided Media page.
And also, another way to find out about those shows is to just stick around after this interlude, where sometimes we'll be running ads, but we will also have promotions for other shows on the network. So listen to those if you are listening to the main feed. But
if you don't like to smile to ads...
I was actually going to say, before we segue into our Patreon has ad-free episodes, I was going to say that they're normal ads.
They're not those, yes.
We have been choosing each ad. You should know. So you are getting very specific.
Recorded by us.
They're tabletop related for the most part, or just they're things
adjacent
that are relevant to this show and
our listeners, not just
random old blah blah blah.
We're not letting any problematic ads through, so do not worry. And if you see something, say something to us, and I will get it out of here.
We
out.
Will
gone.
But the Patreon is cool. It doesn't got any ads except for ad libs as we're improvising through a gutter talk, or
and added value because you also get the gutter talk and the gutter core episodes, but you've heard about those a billion times. We don't need to go into that.
They'll make your life extremely better. You know that. I don't know why you haven't gotten on yet. And now you can listen to episodes without ads, even though the ads are amazing. How about this?
You can compare your experience, listen with the ads that you love, yeah. and then listening without the ads. And, you know, but it's the ads that's not playing. It'll still give you an equally positive experience.
Some wacky fan out there is going to do it. They're going to actually do it, and they're going to send us an email.
And that's great. I love when they do that. I love the experiments, and I love when someone does it. And you know what? We love you as well about that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys.
What?
Are we ready to say goodbye to them now? So yeah, they can keep on going on their merry way of their life? So.
They're on a rowboat. We're standing. They're sitting on a rowboat. Don't we're standing rowboat. In front of the rowboat, and we're pushing them off the dock.
But don't worry. Don't get too lonely. We're going to play the rest of the episode for you.
Oh, Gannon pushed too hard. He's falling in.
Oh, no.
Oh, Gannon.
Oh, I'm wet.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I don't know how to swim.
I'm going in, too. I don't know how to swim either. Help us.
Help us. Oh, no. We're sinking.
Oop. They don't seem like they're having very much fun at all. Bye, guys.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
We're now following these three gattos, or two gattos and one
pile of stuff.
That's also sort of a detective gatto, but boom, these three gattos, they're turning a corner. It's been hours now. The sun is red now in the sky. It's near the end of the day. It's, you know, early evening, say. It's sunset. We all know what sunset means. It means it's the evening's about to happen. So we're seeing Chef Hat, we're seeing the crone, and we're seeing the big pile of garbage silently. It's the street is empty. You're looking ahead. You're seeing the citadel, this enormous tower.
Holy smokes, you guys.
It's surrounded by this 30-foot wall. There's vulture-like creatures circling the structure above. And there's another moat. There's a moat around Gatto City, but there's another moat around the citadel and a drawbridge that's drawn.
We made it.
Oh my god.
We made it.
Yes.
And I have the feeling that it's only going to get easier from here, guys. We're completely safe. We've shaken all of our tails.
Do you guys...
Don't say that. You're going to...
Things are finally going to start turning around for
do
us.
Do you think we can maybe slip out of some of this crap?
I'm not... Let's wait.
The fur is starting... I think I'm having an allergic reaction to the lint.
Just
really, has it been itching the last 2 hours?
Just push through it, man.
We got to get to the car.
Can I just be a bald cat for the rest of this with my...
A bald cat, a.k.a. just a... I'm not going to say it out loud.
I've got a damn chef hat on my head. I'm not a guy.
His nipples are sweating, so it looks like the cat is crying.
Yeah, it's like looks like because he had makeup on the nipples, it looks like there's like running mascara.
Okay,
like,
yeah, but that was my normal makeup I put on my nipples to make them
your
more...
contours and highlights.
Yeah.
Up ahead, you see an individual sitting, smoking from a pipe. You notice it's an individual sitting on a lawn chair. This is in front of the drawn drawbridge. Smoking a pipe. It's lawn chair. It's your buddy lawn chair sitting there smoking a little cringe out of a glass pipe. It looks like just chillaxing, just sort of tapping their foot.
Violet puts their hood slightly back to make eye contact with lawn chair to reveal themselves.
You guys got really quiet. What's going on? I'm facing backwards.
It's lawn chair. I see lawn chair. Is that? Hey! Violet is like gesturing to be quiet.
Lawn chair is sort of bouncing up and down in the lawn chair and waving you over.
They scuttle towards lawn chair.
Hey! We're sauntering over lawn chair. It's Otter.
About time you guys showed up. Got some folks waiting on you.
Lawn chair, thank God. It's so good to see.
If my voice is different, I've been smoking a lot of cringe. But if my voice isn't different,
I'm normal.
That's right. You're just how you're normal.
You're just how I remembered you, lawn chair. Hey, are the people who are waiting for us happy to see us or mad about us?
You could say they're pretty happy.
Oh.
Okay.
Insert good whistle. No, maybe she just does that. She goes, fingers up, sticks her tongue out, puts her fingers in her mouth, and then goes,
and somehow they hear it.
And then the drawbridge starts to come down. In front of you, you see Meat Stew sitting on his horse, the one that ran away.
Oh,
he's sitting on his beautiful horse. No. You're seeing Scrat Krelly sitting on top of the camper. And
I'm
connected to that camper, we see that beautiful green Booger.
Oh,
in the front of Booger, we see Francois and untitled Billy Braun harnessed. And they're adorned right now with wreaths of exotic flowers.
Wow.
Guys! Oh my god! It's good to see you! Me,
Stu comes horkle-dorkling down the way and god, just starts embracing you and kissing you guys on the head.
Oh my god, I'm so glad to see you guys alive.
Quiet, quiet.
We're at the Citadel. We walked 2 hours. Oh, come on, let me take my hat off.
Here, let's bring the drawbridge up. The drawbridge starts coming up behind you.
Otter whips off his chef's hat and throws it in the air like he's graduated from this little bit that he's been doing. Huzzah! And he looks around to see if anyone is looking at us, at any sort of stink eye.
Mm-mm.
In the square.
No, none. It's just you guys there right now.
Otter raises the roof to the listener. We did it!
It took me all heck to get those Kinnikesians on my back, but ooh, I'm so glad you made it, all right.
Same, buddy.
Oh my gosh.
Those guys are nasty and they smell bad.
I'll say, look, we're glad to see you, Meat Stew. What the hell's going on?
Ooh, what's going on? His eyes twinkle. And then you hear, behind you, there's these heavily bolted doors, these big doors in front of the Citadel, and then a narrow path going towards it. And you hear from those doors like a big, roar, like not a roar, like a crowd. Like, and then some confetti sort of. You know, it's not the door into the Citadel, it's the door around the wall of the Citadel. Some confetti sort of flutters over the door.
Scratch has emerged from the junk pile by this point and has the headset off. What's going on in there?
I got a great idea. Why don't you guys hop on top of Booger?
Oh, what do you mean, like?
Just sit on top of it. The Billies will pull you forward and you get to meet the Lost Boys. Oh my god, you are gonna love these guys. They are cool, they are down to earth. And they love rock music.
Otter is sitting on top of Booger, and he kind of thinks he has an idea of where this is going because he's been in an Olympic ceremony before a long time ago, and he's getting ready to wave.
There won't be any Kinects in the crowd that'll, like...
Those guys, they would never serve.
Oh.
The military. No, you're going to see. You're going to love it. No, there's none of them. There's none of them there.
Violet has taken off their hood, by the way, and if I didn't say this before, has drawn 3 little whiskers with eyeliner on either side, just in case anybody looked underneath the hood.
And you're also in like a full like cat's spandex suit underneath. You're like, just in case I lost my robes,
so I can
do my Mr. Jellicle cat.
Yeah,
kind of.
Oh, Jason Derulo in Cats the movie.
Yeah, Violet actually can't sweat the disguise and is just. God, how do you even describe this? Like choreographed style sauntering.
Yes,
like
yes,
in
like,
Cats. And doing twists and turns.
Otter has his shirt off and he's taken off the lint that was causing him problems. And he has a big rash on his chest that is even visible in sort of half light. You can tell that something is kind of wrong. But he's got a big smile on his face that kind of distracts. It's like, hey, look at that smile. Don't look at the rash. Look at the smile.
Scratch is like, like waving fresh air at himself now that he has his eyes exposed to real light again and is climbing up on Booger.
A Meat Stew gives a whistle and...
Now, was that a real whistle or
nope,
does Meat Stew also go?
Meat Stew also can't whistle.
Okay.
He went... The heavily bolted doors of the Citadel walls open, revealing a narrow path through a courtyard to the tower itself, but you are shocked to see that this courtyard is packed. flanked by a gathering of thousands of gattos, humans, imps, 9-foot-tall skeletons, and other creatures, bubbling in anticipation and excitement. Flower petals and confetti are raining down everywhere, and as the billies pull you forward, the crowd goes nuts.
Yeah!
What the fuck?
What?
Otter's waving! Otter's waving, he's putting his hand up to his ear like, he can't hear the crowd!
Violet is smiling, but also looking, you guessed it, skeptical, and is like, what is going on? What is this?
Are they cheering for us?
Meat Stew is riding the horse, and he gives you two big thumbs up.
Otter can't help it. He takes his track pants that he's wearing, and he rips them off. And he tosses them out to the crowd. This used to do numbers in the Philippines when I would play squash over there. They'd love this. They'd go crazy for this.
Whoa.
Now, do you want to put some underwear on or no? You just
Buddy, I got on my underwear. All right,
underwear looks like a penis.
My underwear looks like a penis, yeah.
They're that tight. They're the tightest.
I'm wearing the sort of novelty underwear that has like a cock sleeve. Yeah. And it's got like a little face, and it's like that's the nose of a sort of snuffleupagus type thing. And Otter starts helicoptering.
They're clothed. They're going crazy. They think it's hilarious. They're going nuts. You're seeing signs in the crowd. Gatto City loves you. Welcome, heroes, with an apostrophe.
What?
O apostrophe S heroes. Mountain King, you're next. Another sign that says one down, six to go. And then there's a bunch in text you don't recognize.
One
and now
down.
You're like coming down. You see there's like a little Gattos. You can see him smacking this effigy or pinata sort of thing. It looks like a man in a suit, and they're really going nuts on that thing.
Can Otter reach his hand out to try to like summon one of the cat toes?
Yeah. You reach out, and the little this little black and white cat toe is like, it's like comes up and like touches your hand.
Otter picks him up and holds him Simba style for just a second before plopping him on his shoulder.
Yeah, the crowd is
just loving it. Violet, you're the one who's a little skeptical here. You're like, what's going on? You look and you're looking at the effigy they were smacking up, and you remember before you left Black Fork, there was a story about a senator who died in the explosion, and that. It looks like he had sort of a funny nose and one eye that was bigger than the other. And this looks like that senator.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. They're celebrating us because we kind of... We didn't...
We basically Dorothy'd. We Dorothy'd.
You guys are friends of Dorothy.
Well.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like that. That's really cool. Yeah. I'm going to claim that. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
You're noticing that many in the crowd seem to be in like a kind of like military apparel, like Gatto military apparel. And looking closer, you can see that many also seem to have like wounds or like recovering wounds, like grafted on limbs, veiny mangled flesh, grafts taking up their face, giving them large fish-like eyes, you know, like they survived some kind of horrific war or something. Looking up, you can see Gatto operators on the wall patrolling while a couple others are manning like enormous fleshy rocket launchers and heavy artillery machinery, and they're just sort of like scanning the skyline as you guys move closer to the great Tower Citadel itself. Violet, for a moment, you think you see someone in the crowd with a web tattoo on their head.
And I do. And then I leave, and then I go and I talk to them.
You do.
And I'm like, hey, what's up?
Wait, bye, come back.
You look again. And would you believe it?
They're gone.
Amidst all the cheers, Scratch closes his eyes for a second and just like looks up with like this kind of like content, dreamlike smile on his face, and he's taking it in. And for all the different things that Scratch wanted to be but never became, he always fantasized about being surrounded by a massive cheering crowd. And once again, he has that feeling of like, I'm on the right path. Everything that's happening is right and good. And I can do anything I want to do, and it's right and good. And he is intoxicated.
Would you say?
Intoxicated with the attention.
What do you say? He played drums, right?
Yeah.
He does a quick air drum, like.
Yeah.
He's so happy in the moment. He's like, ba, 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 ba.
And the crowd is mistaking the air drumming as sort of just like cool celebrating.
Yeah.
And they go even crazy.
Or martial arts moves as well. Like he's like, whoa, the prowess.
Otter is taking out his red scimitar and he's sort of like wobbling it around, doing little tricks like he used to do with his old squash racket, like doing this thing where he's like moving his arm circularly as the scimitar goes around and around, like spinning.
Whoa.
Violet is looking so uncomfortable and just kind of smiling, but just scanning the crowd like rapidly, like looking nervous.
Scratch slaps his arm around your shoulders. Drink it in, Vi. Drink it in.
Otter reaches into the bag and motherfucking pulls out the horn.
Whoa!
Yes, his horn. He's pointing to the horn. And he's like, should I? Should I?
Yes, do it. The crowd is loving that.
Do not do it.
Otter is going to just let it rip. He's going to blow the horn.
Does he do it?
Yeah, he blows the horn. He's
it's like a crisp. It wasn't crisp the first time he played it, but this time you play it, it is a really crisp sound. And it's just like it echoes around this crowd and like echoes out up into the burgeoning night sky, the sunsetting sky. And everyone's just loving it. And now you're reaching the Citadel proper and the doors are opening now to the Citadel proper, and you guys are entering. The space inside looks nothing like the outside. It's a large hall of which the walls and corners recede into darkness, and it seems to be unending. But Meat Stew on the horse head is like, yeah, these Lost Boys are pretty excited. But how about that, huh? Pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
Are you surprised or what?
I needed that. I needed that so
Holy.
Bad.
Yeah.
What was that about, though? I guess I am curious. Why were they cheering us?
We Dorothy'd a guy.
But I know, but how did they know all about that? And I didn't Dorothy a guy. That was...
Oh, well, the Lost Boys... They give a lot of information to the good folks who keep Gato City safe, and, well, they were just overjoyed to hear that you took out one of the seven. So, I mean, I didn't know anything about that. I thought you didn't have anything to do with that, but they just sort of passed the word along. And
really quick, in the message that we got from Dorinda, did she mention the seven?
I think she did.
S5, I know she talked about S5, she talked about the different
people. Yeah, there's seven, and she listed what each one.
Yes, that's right, she did. No, she did.
Otter is remembering Dorinda's message and realizing that the seven... It's the same seven that's from the message.
You know what's crazy is like that senator being killed and us being afraid that we were going to take blame somehow. You know, the photo of us like at the house that he threatened us with. It's like crazy. It's like we ran Meat Stew. Like part of the reason like we're here is like we had to run from our civilization out there because of the consequences of that. But here we're heroes.
Yeah, but I don't see it that way at all. I think we have to run even more now. Now all these people know who we are. Before we at least had anonymity where some people only knew who we were. Now everybody knows who we are. Everybody's going to be watching us. They're all looking.
But they're on our side. The people watching us before that we were afraid of seeing us are exactly the kind of people that these guys hate. They're the Mountain King's goons. They're the goons of, I guess, the rest of the seven, whatever their specific names are. It's like, if we want anybody watching our backs,
yeah,
it's this entire civilization of people who have somehow stood up against the oppression of this fucking colonial invader from another dimension or whatever the division is between the deep warp and out there.
Yeah, and maybe they'll help keep us safe.
Otter's being quiet just because he's now, it's starting to dawn on him just how wrapped up he is in this and how he has very vulnerable ties in Black Fork.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just has no knowledge of what's going on in Black Fork. And I think it's a little hard when you're an older guy who has established roots that are far away from you and closer to evil forces to deal with that is quite sobering.
Oh, check this out. And he's pointing to an open door. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to show you something crazy real quick.
Uh-huh.
You guys are like, huh? You look in. and you see it's like super messy. You're just, it looks, it's some kind of armory. There's just like piles of guns all over the place. You actually see the caravan that you guys, the two Humvees that were glued together, like is in there, and they're like taking guns out of the Humvee and they're putting, it's, you're seeing little bumpy guys, like the guys from the Hellmall. They're like taking out the guns and they're putting them in piles and they're like, you know, organizing. And they also have like all this like junk, like all this junk from, I don't know, the earth world, the overworld or whatever.
The kind of stuff that the crapyard would be shipping off to GG, Fond du Lac, and
right.
Co.
And also just like garb. Like you can see one of these imps, these little bumpy guys, he's got like a clearly broken, unplugged weed whacker. And Meat's just like, yeah, check, just look at that guy. And he's got like he holds up the silver, it's a seed. It's like a very bright, sparkly little seed. And he like puts it in the maw of the weed whacker. And then the weed whacker turns on. Whoa. Even though it's not plugged in anywhere. Pretty cool, right? And it's, you start to see the strands start to get a little longer and it's like start whipping against the imp's legs. And then they get really long and they start grabbing the imp and he's like, what the heck?
Whoa.
And now he's they're wrapping all around him. And then all these other imps come out and they're like, ah! And they've got sticks and they're walking up to the weed whacker and smacking it with sticks. And Meat Stew just sort of closes the door and goes.
Did they need help?
Nah, they're good.
Yeah, oh, okay. Was that a plant?
Is that kind of like the same thing as like the eyes on the walls and stuff?
Meat Stew points at you and goes, ding, ding, ding. You remember that scary helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
No, the Lost Boys and the people the Lost Boys came from. Jessica. The people the Lost Boys came from. Whatever, don't worry about it. But yeah, they kind of make that stuff or whatever. I don't really know. Well, I do cut. Well, what? Hey, no. We were here.
Oh.
Ooh.
You're looking ahead at this sort of like golden doorway.
Ooh.
All
right.
I hope this is a little Gato's room because it has been several hours since I've drained my main Gato.
Can you hold it for another month till the next episode's released?
Yeah, I think we're gonna
I don't know why I said that.
I can, but I shouldn't, but I will.
Okay.
Hey, how about this? How about this? Let's meet in the middle, do it after the credits.
Okay.
Here. It's time to meet the Lost Boys.
And the golden doors open up. And the Billies are walking forward. Like, he's still on his horse. You're still on Booger. And you're walking into this rotunda, with these bright red walls. This is the first thing you see. You can smell incense and smoke and something familiar. It's metallic. Could it be like blood or something? And in this bright red room, in the center of the room, a brass brazier. It's, you know.
A brazier.
A brazier. It's not a brazier. It's a brazier. And it's burning. There's a tall fire rising from this vessel. Beside the vessel, you see a flowering bloodvine tree that's twisted like a malformed spine towards a red stained glass skylight at the center of the domed ceiling. And sitting on the vine is an owl. You can see tapestries in the back on the walls, but you're unable to make out the details in the dim light. But at this point, you can see the massive figures in this room. Standing behind the tree, but in front of the tapestries, you see these eight massive creatures, like maybe 15 feet tall. They're shimmering, black, fleshy, frilly bodies that they kind of like fall to the ground like robes. You can see that their faces are flat with these enormous bulging eyes that reflect light in flashes of rainbow. You can see that there are horns protruding from their heads, twisting towards the sky, similar to the bloodvine tree. And when they move, their skin reflects like an oil slick. And one of these creatures steps forward and speaks in a voice that sounds like many voices.
Otter's taking a knee. Seems like the only thing that you can do in front of such a majestic big guy.
He's there. He's like rippling. His robe-like black shiny body is like flowing. And he says,
"We've been watching you. Your enemies are our enemies. And I suppose you have questions."
Meat Stew goes, "That's David!" Blackout!
Wow. Now, should we all say that line so it can sound like many voices?
If that's too difficult, I can just be like, he speaks or whatever.
It'd be pretty easy.
Yeah, I can do some chorus and delay.
Child play for a master editor like Casey.
Great.
I can't wait to ask these guys if they've ever played American football, because they would be an amazing offensive line. God. Honestly, a quarterback would have trouble throwing the ball over them. But Bodie Chambers, he could get by.
He's got to pee after the credits. That's what we're saving after the credits, which I was going to see if he wanted to do real quick.
Here's the thing. Upon seeing these big guys, I just got to be honest, Otter pissed himself.
Bloink.
So he doesn't have to go to the bathroom anymore.
Well, somebody has to pee after the credits. I guess it's me. Okay. Everybody hold on. Okay. Scratches. Peeing after the credits. Can't do it with all of you watching, so
I understand. I'm gonna actually
get me to like make fake water sounds like pss.
I gotta get out of here. I'm gonna get out of here, give you some space.
Okay, thank you, Otter. Yeah, but the water noises, okay,
lakes and rivers, the pools, fountains.
It's like I got a freaking cork.
You hear a large pane of glass break. Shit, I didn't realize that was a door. I thought it was...
Oh, did you walk through a glass door, Otter?
Yeah, it's just... I'm not Otter, I'm just Mike now.
You're just Mike?
I've been Mike, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, Scratch, you're peeing. Yay.
Oh, I'm peeing.
It distracted you now. Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
Gutter.